Amen. So I want you to look at the scripture that is our opening for the last couple weeks in Ephesians. I love this scripture because it's talking about God's intention for the church. Why church? Why did God even make the church or the institution? Really, it's a living organism. The church is a living organism. It's not an organization. It is a living organism. It is alive. The church is alive like the Word of God is alive. It's different from any other community thing. So it says, and I'm gonna read it out of here. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this is Paul speaking out of great humility, even though he was the smartest, one of the smartest men of God you've ever known. He says, this grace was given that I get to preach to this Gentiles. And we know the Gentiles, not the Jews, but to all the unsearchable riches of Christ. How many knows when Jesus came, it became a gospel for all people. That's a good place to say amen if you're not Jewish. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, somebody say through the church. I really want you to track with me and talk with me today. Somebody say the church. So God's plan is through the church, the manifold wisdom of who he is, God. And the manifold, that word manifold means many, various or many-sided. That God is not one-dimensional, he is many-dimensional. That the moment you think you figure God out, he does something different. That he's many, the manifold wisdom, God's many-sided wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. Can I ask you a question? How does God make himself known, not only in the earth, but in the heavens and below? Through the church. That's the point I want you to grab today as I teach this, that God is known by hell through you. My question to you, are principalities afraid of you? I know heaven knows you, but does hell? I'm going to tell you, after the last few years, I promise you hell knows who I am. And I say that with much humility, but I'm going to tell you, when the enemy messed with my family in 2013, one of the first things that came out of my mouth, even when I was shaking with fear, because you will have fear at times, but it's not who you are. Even though I was nervous and fearful in a certain way, this is what I told the enemy in my personal prayer time. You've messed with the wrong family. And then I said, you've messed with the wrong patriarch. You have messed with the wrong man. When you go to mess with my family, you are messing with the wrong man. Because I will go to war. I will fight even if I die for the sake of my family. Come on, amen? So at that moment, hell knew I wasn't going to compromise. I wasn't going to bow in fear, that I was going to stand up and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and defeat the enemy over every area. So I'm telling you, if you're going through something right now, take the sword of the Spirit and let the sword come out of your mouth in the name of Jesus and begin to declare not your word, but God's word over your situation. Just because you fear, you feel fear, doesn't mean you're fearful. So don't let the devil lie to you and say, you're fearful and God isn't this. First of all, God is not some mean God that he has a checklist that if you don't meet all this checklist, I won't answer your prayer. He's a God that loves you. He's a God that puts up with your humanness and loves us so much, even when we fail at times. Come on. So don't let the devil lie to you any longer. Just because you feel fear doesn't mean you're fearful. If I were to hide around the corner of your house at midnight at night and you get up and for some reason go into the kitchen and I jump out, you're going to feel fear. And the enemy's jumping out on a lot of folk and he's telling you because you feel fear that you're fearful and you're not walking in faith. The devil is a liar. Take the sword of the Spirit today over every situation in your life. So God reveals himself and his power through who? Us. The church. You do understand you're important in this. Very, very important in the New Testament. The Bible says we are Christ in the earth. Did you know you're Jesus in the earth? That brings a lot of fear in a godly fear way. that we represent God and Jesus every single day on the job, at school, wherever we are. Come on, amen. I want you to, well, I'm going to pray and then I'm going to share something. I'm going to read another scripture, guys, that I didn't give you. Father, thank you for illumination right now. Come on, ask him. Come on, church, let's lift up our voice. Let's do something different. Let's start going to, Lord, just talk to me. Say, Lord, just talk to me. Reveal to me through this word today. As pastor speaks, just speak to me. Speak to my heart, Lord, today. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place, even those that are watching online. Lord, let your word come alive. Bring understanding and wisdom and knowledge, discernment in everything that's spoken today. And the church said, come on, the church said, amen. Slap a high five and you may be seated. I want to do this, and again, I am so much at the place where I just, and please hear my heart on this, I don't mean to be rude, I'm done with performance Christianity. That's an amen, because that means you don't have to perform. God isn't looking for you to perform the way you had to for your dad at the football game or at the gymnastics meet. He already won the medal. He already won the Super Bowl for you. So it's not based on your performance. It is based upon your surrender. Don't ever forget that. It is based on your surrender today. Some in this room are surrendered and they're going to hear the word this way. But some in this room, you may not be surrendered and you're going to hear the word this way. And I encourage you, whenever anybody gets up, wherever you are and the word of God is being brought, open your heart in a place of surrender of God. Speak to me, not to my wife, my husband, my friend. Speak to me. And I love that song as the worship ministry we're singing today, that God, you don't owe me anything. And I love it that it says, God, I came to church not just for you to bless me like Santa Claus. That God, if you never do, the old folks say, if you never do anything else for me. And I think we've forgotten about that. You know, this series, Why Church? Like I said, some folks have looked, what does that mean? And God put it in my heart. I did something a couple years ago that I'm not sure it was fully understood, but God put in my heart that the church has forgotten who they are, or they've forgotten what I want. Now really lean in today, and I would love to see your notes if God speaks to you. Email it to me, Facebook me, whatever. I love it when the church gets together and collaborate in Bible study. Love it, because you have God thoughts. After this chapter, I didn't give it to y'all, and Rodney, you may be able to pull it up. The very next chapter, Ephesians 4, I wanted to say this, because what is the role of a pastor in a church? And God, like, really put this in my heart either late last night or sometime this morning, sometime, and said, Scott, I want you to do this first. What is the role of a pastor? You know, we go to a lot of... We pastors go to pastors' conferences. I personally don't really go to pastors' conferences a lot, and it's not that I'm against them. I probably need to make more time. But I find that when pastors go to conferences, they end up leaving depressed because their church isn't as like the one that's up there talking. And everybody presents it like, wow, and you're sitting there as a little guy running 50 people, 100 people, which is your average church size is 60. And so the little guy's sitting there going, but I don't have the money that you have. I don't have the resources. Because, you know, all this is taught that this is how you grow your church. This is how all these things. And many times we're missing out on the first part is, why am I a pastor? Rodney, I'm going to start with verse 11 in Ephesians 4. Why am I a pastor? What is, for lack of a better word, I don't like this word, but what is the job description of a pastor? What is the job description of a pastor? We need to sometimes talk about what's the job description of a church member. But before that can happen, I'll be honest, pastors have to find out if they're doing God's job description that he called them to do. So I want you to lean into this, because God put this in my heart, about four verses here. And God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors — the shepherd is the word pastor — and the teachers, and we know this is the fivefold, what we call fivefold ministry, which I believe is not gender specific, by the way. I believe men and women are called to some of these offices. Now, I will tell you the word "the" in the ESV, it's also the word "some." Because everybody can't be a pastor, an evangelist, a prophet. Because if that's the case, then we go to the next verse, he talks about the saints. And if everybody is a pastor, evangelist, prophet, then there ain't nobody, there's a bunch of big chiefs. First of all, when you're in the fivefold ministry and you have a mindset that you're the big chief, you're already messed up. Because when you think that a title is who you are, you become a human doing and not a human being. But it is an honor for me today. I was called at 7 years old, no joke. It is an honor for me to stand as your pastor today, or a pastor before you if you're a guest. But my job is really clear. And I think this is where Wine Church, we have to look at why did God create the church, which inside the church he gave the fivefold ministry, pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers. And when you look at the fivefold ministry, then you have the apostle, which I believe apostles are still for today. But when you look at the fivefold ministry, you've got the teacher. It's the pinky. It gets in the ear. That's what the pinky's for. It gets in your ear. It teaches you as a believer. You've got the ring finger, which is my marriage finger. You know what this is? This is the shepherd. If you ever meet a pastor that doesn't walk in love, then I dare to say to you, he's not a real pastor. Because a pastor will just breathe, sleep, love. Sometimes to their own hurt, they will love people. Pastors, real pastors love people hard, and sometimes that hurts. So you've got the teacher that gets in the ear. You've got the pastor, which is the ring finger or the marriage finger or the love finger. Then you've got the finger that reaches farther than any other finger. Guess what that is? That's your evangelist that reaches out farther. He's the sent one. He's the evangel, the one that would, the evangel in biblical days or old times and ancient days, the evangel, when they found out that the king was coming to Tuscaloosa, would go to the city gate and he would be the evangel. The king is coming. The king is coming. And he would go there before the king ever arrived in the city so that they would prepare for the king coming. The evangelist declares, the king is coming. The king is coming. Prepare yourself. Prepare your lives. You have the evangelist. Then you have the pointing finger. And this is the prophet. I think this is one of the misunderstood fivefold ministries more than ever that I don't have time to go to. Because the prophet is not just sitting there going. Especially if you understood the word prophet and what it truly means. Now the prophet will bring correction or alignment in your life if you want it. But it's really hard to bring alignment in your life if you don't allow it. But it's real important that you allow a prophet, the right prophet, not the P-R-O-F-I-T prophet, because there is a P-R-O-F-I-T prophet, that if you give me $100, I'll prophesy to you. Well, what about the homeless person that ain't got nothing? You see how we've created stuff, and I'm going there in the church, that I'm going to just flat out say, it isn't God. A westernized, selfish, me-ism Christianity. So you have the prophet, and then you have the thumb, and that's the apostle. Why? Because the thumb, an apostle carries all these and walks in all these at different times. And the thumb is the only finger that can touch all the other fingers. Go ahead. I know you want to try it. No other finger can touch the other fingers. So the apostle is one that at times he will walk in a prophetic nature. And I do that even at times in services where I'm not really walking in my head office. And most people have a dominant one of these, by the way, that walk in these offices and one that is there. Or if you're an apostle, you walk in all this. But you're not arrogant about it. Because there's times that I'm a teacher. There's times that I am straight up giving y'all a word as a pastor with so much love. There's times that the word is more evangelistic. There's time where the word is more prophetic, which also means can be very encouraging. To prophesy is to also encourage. Come on, amen. So this series, I don't know, we may go a couple more weeks on it and then move to something else, but this series, I don't want it to bore you. My role, Keep going with this. Watch this. Let me go ahead and say what this is. Here's my role. Go back to that, Rodney, if you would. My role as a pastor, according to the word, is to not make you happy. Okay? And there's been a bunch of folk leave the last couple of years because I didn't make them happy. Because they wanted me to change their diaper and part their mustache and put a bottle in. And I'm not going to do it. Because according to the word of God, my role is to equip you, the saints, for what? The work for ministry. Turn and tell somebody, hello, minister, and call their first name. Hello, Minister Christie. Hello, minister. According to this, there aren't people with just a title in the church, minister so-and-so. According to this, you are all ministers. Now, don't shout too quick. If you ain't walking in it. Because you don't want that, and you don't want what comes with it if you are lusting after a title. But there's a W word in there that I won't even mention in this scripture that you can look at. That's what we're called to do. God, it didn't just go boom, there it is. It takes hard work to make a dream come true. Ecclesiastes 3:11. It takes hard work. Faith without. But it says my job is to equip you. Now, I'm going to be honest. After 31 years of ministry, I'm still learning and figuring that out. I'm learning how to be more effective. I'm learning some old tactics that they used to do out of insecurity don't work. That's why you got to really know who you are if you're going to get up and speak to people, because you will speak down to people. You will speak to people the way you see your father or the way your father sees you. It says that my role, according to a fivefold, is to build you up. Building up the body of Christ. Keep going. Until, which tells me it's going to take a minute. It tells me, don't you dare lust for a platform too soon. If you'll notice, there are steps up here to the platform. There are steps to every place of elevation that I believe that if you try to skip those steps and jump from the floor up here, you're setting yourself up to be taken out. Because just because you can preach and you have a gift doesn't mean you have a relationship. Until we all attain the, somebody say unity. It's really big. John 17. Go read John 17, Jesus' last prayer. It's huge, and we may talk about it next week. Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of Jesus. Till we really know who Jesus is. Because you can know about God and know Jesus. You can know the book, but not the author. And if there is this many-sided wisdom of God, that means I don't care if you're 70 years young in this place, there's a lot you still need to learn about God, right? So none of us have arrived. This is why we should never worship a man or a woman in ministry. It says, my role until we attain the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to what? Look at the middle of that scripture, to mature manhood. And that's not gender specific. In other words, my role, and I am also, before I am an apostle or whatever, I am first a saint. And I don't need to ever forget that. That Scott still has areas that I need to mature in at 48 years old. Does anybody else still need to mature? I honor Dr. R and Miss Jenny who are here today. Isn't it great to have them in the house? So good. When he walked up, it blessed my heart. So glad to have you here, Pop. Great to have you and Mom in the house. But I've never seen a man with more humility that when you speak to him, he'll let you know, I don't know it all. That at his age, he is still every day unveiling Jesus. Unveiling Jesus
every day.
Maturity is a big issue, and that's the role that I've been called to do, even with this sermon, is to bring you to maturity. How many would agree, just by even looking at Facebook, for all my Facebook users, that the world is very immature? How many believe we have a lot of grown-ups that are just big boys and big girls in little girl and little boy bodies? Or vice versa, little boys in big boy bodies. And that's a whole issue, Pastor Eddie, that we need to talk about family. Because right now we have kids raising kids. And it's finally caught up to us in 2020. And so my role, whether I end up with 100 people here or 1,000, is to mature you. There's no greater joy than to watch some of you, and even in my 15 and a half years of being here, to watch some of you go from here to here in your maturity. Now, I'll be honest, those that didn't want to mature, many of them left. Because it's your decision. Nobody can make you mature as a wife or a husband. Nobody can make you mature as a believer. The problem was, in the 80s and 90s, we tried to make you. Our parents, or we put fear in you. If you don't come to church, you're going to hell. So we had a bunch of people at church that didn't want to be there. No, if you don't want to be at church, you need to go do what you need to do. I'm talking to believers. But my role in the fivefold ministry is, it says, to mature you to manhood. That means I may have to tell you what you don't want to hear. Who's open to that? Who's open to that? A conscious person, a conscious leader is open. An unconscious leader is defensive. We have people that are unconscious in their marriage, and every time their spouse tells them what they need to, if you would stop doing that, they blow up because they're unconscious. They're easily offended, and we live in Matthew 24, an easily offended society, that when you tell somebody the truth that's not mature, they will get mad at you. And then they're going to spin it and throw it off on what you do wrong. And it's a way the enemy silences truth, because we all need truth. I'm talking about God's word. Turn and tell somebody, grow up. To mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at the next scripture, I believe. So that we may... Why do we need to grow up, and why do you need a pastor? Why do you need a pastor? I don't need a pastor. I don't need a church. I don't have to go to church. No, you don't have to. The reason you have a pastor in your life, and pastors and leaders in your life, and godly mentors, is so that you may no longer be children, what? Tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So one minute, I literally was flabbergasted by a person on Facebook this week whom I love very much, and they posted this thing with this curse word that starts with F, and there was this graphic, F, da, 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 F, and I went, has somebody hacked their Facebook account? Because I know this person well. I had to click on their name, and it goes immediately to the profile. I'm a lover of Jesus. I went, something is terribly wrong in the church when we think we can act like that and then promote that we're a lover of God and lover of Jesus. And this is why the church is very confused right now. This is why young people don't want church, is because they see a form of godliness, but there's no Holy Spirit. There's no power, according to Timothy chapter 3. Am I right? I just read an article this week how millennials are leaving the church in droves. Can I ask you why? Why are millennials leaving the church or don't want anything to do with church? Oh, I got it. I know how we can do it. Let's be cooler for the young people. Let's put more lights and fog machines in. Let's appeal to the soulless realm. And we'll get the young folk, right? trap. Nothing's wrong with that stuff, but Jesus better be in the room. What's the next scripture say? I think, let me look at this. What's the next verse say, Rod? Rather speaking the truth, oh my goodness. So it goes on to say, I as a pastor, if I'm going to tell you the truth, I need to do it with love. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when somebody talks to me disrespectfully or talks to me down at me like I'm a boy. Come on, somebody. Okay, if you're going to tell me the truth, like the old song said, break it to me gently, baby. You know what I'm saying? For every correction, at least bring two compliments with it, baby, please. Because we're still human beings. We still have emotions. And nobody wants to be told, if a parent is always correcting their child and never praising them, that child will become rebellious. So we must speak the truth in love, and we are to what? Grow up. Grow up. Because I believe most problems we have in society is a lack of maturity. Most marriage problems are two people that want to defend themselves as separate lives when the two are supposed to be one. The definition of marriage is two funerals and a one resurrection. And when two people die going into marriage of their own desires and selfishness, you will see a marriage thrive. But honestly, it's that way with any relationship. It's putting up with each other's perfume and cologne that smells good, and it's also putting up with your stank. Come on, talk to me. That's what friendship is, but we've created this thing where if you don't agree with me, I'm no longer your friend. That's what's going on in society right now. It's such a polarization. Well, guess what? You're going to end up real lonely when you realize you're not that you're not the one that's perfect. We are to grow up in every way. What are we to grow up in? I want you to picture this. I want you to picture, here's the mind of Christ and here's Scott. We are to grow up into the head. I am to grow, here's Jesus, the head of the church. I am to grow up into the mind of Christ. That is the role, or should be the role, of every pastor. I have failed at times at that. I know I have. Can't tell you when, but I promise I have. But not with intention, ever. Give me 20 people. I need 20 volunteers. I need 20 volunteers, young and old. First of all, give me a couple middle school and high schoolers up here. Don't get scared. It's real easy. Just jump up here. Come on. Give me three or four middle school, high school. Line up on either side of the step, at the bottom of the step. Don't worry. Don't get nervous. I ain't going to embarrass you or anything like that. Then give me a couple college students. Give me some college folks, some folks in college. Come on. Just help me out. Come on. Come on. Cool, cool, cool. And just line up. Give me some middle-aged folk up here. Come on. Every race, every tribe, every tongue. Come on. Give me some middle-aged folk. I'm talking 30 to 50. Y'all know that's the new middle age, right? Come on, all my older folks above 50, you better say amen. Line up at the end. I need a line. Need a line. Line up at the end. Now give me some mature folks above 50. Some older folks above 50. Jump down here. All right? All right? So here's all I want to do. Last week I spoke about, I wonder what church Jesus would go to. And it caught a lot of folks on social media like, And I think the clip that somebody edited, it's pretty strong. But what church would Jesus go to? That was the message last week. This week we're going to talk about, who did you learn church from? Who taught you church? Selah. What I want to ask all of y'all, and I want you to give me a quick answer. One thing, and it's okay if you say the same thing. It's totally good. I just wanted to do this out of my own curiosity. So anybody ever been house hunting for a house? I know Noah and Emily have been. And house hunting. You know, you're looking for a house that you want. Well, there's this thing in America called church hunting. I'm looking for a church. I'm hunting for a church. My question to all of you that are up here, if Jesus was here in the flesh and he was church hunting, if Jesus was church hunting, give me one or two things that would be at the top of his list about that church. Maybe three things. You can give me three if you want to. What would, if I were to say, Jesus, so you're church hunting, you're trying to find the right church. What, Jesus, are three things that when you go, any guest in the house today? Any guest in here today? Any first-time guests? You're afraid to raise your hand anyway. All right. So if Jesus were to be looking for churches, what would be like at the top of his list? Like we make a list. Because people do this for a church even. What would, Desi, I'll start with you. And I'll go down this way, then I'll come and join you guys. What would Jesus, if I say, Jesus, what's like top priority when church hunting?
I think that the people have a true relationship with him. And the worship at the church glorifies him. And
That's good. That's excellent. That's a great answer. All right, Hannibal.
Yeah, kind of like Destiny said, and like he wants his people to like follow after him and like never give up on, like he would never give up on his people. And
that's awesome. Awesome. I want you to switch your perspective just a little bit, though. Jesus isn't coming in really even for him in a sense. He's coming to go, should I attend this church? Do I want to go through the 101 with the pastor? Do I want to put my roots down at this church? So he is coming in as a human. This is the human Jesus. And those were good answers. Those are what I was looking for. But I just want to make it clear that he's coming in and he's looking for a church that he would like to attend. What is he looking for?
I would say spirit-filled and prayer.
Spirit-filled and prayer. Come on, these young people.
I think he wants a diverse church.
What does that mean?
All walks of life, but all walks of life for one purpose.
What do you think the focus that he's looking for, or what is he, even deeper than that, when he comes into a church, what is he looking out of that church?
People that want a relationship.
Good.
I think supernatural love, being filled with the Spirit, and then demonstration.
So good. So good.
I was going to say the same thing, like that we are truly Christ's disciples and that we show love to everybody, brotherly love.
Cool.
Yeah, mine's definitely love and just like teaching like the word but also walking it. So people that give, you know.
It's a great answer. You guys are onto something here, believe it or not.
A praying church.
A praying church. We've learned that. Make my house a house of
servanthood, someone to welcome him in, bring him in, and guide him around.
That is so good. Y'all don't realize, but you'll realize it in the next couple of weeks.
First word I thought of was humility, a church that's humble, a church that's not seeking after a position, a church that's seeking after him with everything they have. So
good. Awesome. Sister Christy?
He senses his presence there. He senses the presence of the Holy Spirit there when he walks in the door from the parking lot till the end of the service. That's why he's going to want to go.
That's good.
Love, faith, and mercy. Love it. Exactly what Sister Christy said, the presence of the Holy Spirit.
So good. Yes. You preaching still? Okay. All right, y'all can go sit down. All right. Give it to me. Joseph.
I think he's looking for, like, people who are united through, like, him, not through, like, whatever the latest craze is or all that. Like, what, like, we look like.
Can I have him repeat this again? Repeat, start at the top again.
Like people who are united like through him instead of like what's going on in humanity and society.
What's popular?
Yeah.
A strong pastor, somebody who's been through stuff and prayed through stuff and like he can preach to other people and share what he's been through.
So good. Love that.
A church that just really values and treasures people.
Put God in your life besides other people and worry about only God except, like, other people. Like, just make him the main thing in your life.
Come on. Yeah, baby. All right.
I think a church would be where he feels worship and that they're not afraid to show their love for him. So the people just love to praise him.
So they're not ashamed to praise
him. They're not ashamed to praise him.
All right, Chase?
Where gifts of the Spirit are at work, all gifts of the Spirit.
So good.
They were all my answers. just a church to where, like, you come in and you're, like, greeted and you feel like you're not by yourself, where you're not ashamed to be in a place of worship and not ashamed to say, well, I love the Lord, and to actually walk it out, and then just a place to where you see good fruit.
So good.
A church focused and rooted in humility.
So good.
A place where Jesus is Lord, and he will find a steak dinner, not just milk.
All right.
And then where he knows where sinners come seeking rather than perfection, feeling like a place where people feel they're perfect.
I love that Jesus wants to come to a place where you can get a steak, not just milk. That's so good.
A church that will preach and teach the truth of God.
Amen.
A church that is dedicated, because whatever you're dedicated to, you'll die for, because you can be loyal to the front door or committed to the front door every morning at 9 o'clock, but if you're not dedicated, it's no good.
That's so good.
Amen. Yeah. I would say make sure that the love is real, genuine love. Love, the agape love that God has. And the church is not a doctrine church by rules and regulations.
Okay.
I would say a church that believes in the word of God and believes that every word is truth and lives by it.
So good, Debbie. Jeffrey?
I think a place where people are not satisfied or complacent, but they're always challenged, and that there's a spirit or sense of belonging.
Wow.
People always want to are looking for a place where they can belong and they can take ownership in and be proud of and not be, you know, always wanting to become more than what they are. And also a hospital. This is a hospital.
Love it. Come on, give them a hand. Thank y'all. That's awesome. 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 I love it. All the way from the younger people to the older people. And I did that for a reason, because It was very diverse, and those were absolute great answer. First of all, if we even asked Jesus, and y'all, I'm just talking, is that all right? By the Holy Spirit, that if we asked Jesus, what church would you attend? I think he would be confused by that question back in biblical days, because for them, church was not a one day event. Church was not something they went to. Church was who they are. And this series, because we're going somewhere in 2020, is to mature you and challenge you. Why are you at church? Why are you a part? Because we know church is not a building. They went to temple every day. Now, we don't do that in our Americanized way. But they went to temple every day. They didn't go to church. They are the church. And I love asking this question to all of you that came up. Thank you for volunteering. Because sometimes I don't think Jesus cares about what we care about. Hear me out. I don't think Jesus is, and I loved all the answers, and I love you guys because you have the heart of God. I didn't get a bad answer at all. But when you talk to people that are church hunting, and you ask them what their top priority is, it will be a bunch of different things that were not, those answers that were not given up here. I think we have too many selections in America. And that does nothing but hurts a consumeristic-minded church. It's almost like there's a buffet. Do you know there is almost 300 churches in Tuscaloosa? It's a smorgasbord. It's a buffet. I don't think Jesus cares what style of music we do. Well, I'm going to join this church, Jesus would say, if they do the music I like. I I'm challenging you. Or I'm going to this church because it's just cool. I like the way it looks. Love it. Walk in the foyer, it's this and that. Not saying there's stuff there, that's wrong, but if that is at the top of our list as the church, I love it because they have a great kids program and they have that. Well, Pastor, what's wrong with that? If that's at the top of your list. Because I will tell you, if Jesus is in the house, first of all, you got to give grace for pastoral leadership and your leaders. Because there is not one church that will have what you want in all of it. There's not one church that's perfect because you're in it. And because Scott is in the church. I think we've worshiped man so much that because the moment we see weaknesses in leadership, we leave and go somewhere else to another weak, frail. We all need Jesus. We worship intellect and we worship other things and we put these things at the top of the list of why we go to a church. But I'm going to tell you, most of them said it, the number one thing that I'm looking for is he in the room? Can I tell you, he's more important in the room than you and I? Oh, we can have church now. Pastor's here. No, that's why you should not just come or not come when you find out if I'm at church or not. I've been afraid to post whether I'm going to be at church when I have to preach out of town because people will literally not come or call the church and say, I heard Pastor Scott's not preaching. I'm not coming. And I'm like, I have failed then. They didn't fail. I have failed of making sure the church understands you don't come to church for music, air conditioning, chairs. You don't come to, that's great, that's wonderful, we're blessed that we have air conditioning and all, we're blessed that we have lights and sound system, but the reason that we come to church, because I know places that have everything in the natural, but he's not there. And those places are filled with hundreds of people. Where a gospel of convenience is preached. A gospel of convenient, that if it's convenient for me to do this Christian thing, then I'm going to do it. But if it's not, y'all are looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Possibly. And I'm talking to y'all as I wrote this message. Possibly we care about the wrong things when it comes to being part of the church and what the role of the church is to be, the purpose of the church. Is it that I say a prayer and altar, I am now good to go, I'm a Christian, you know, I get a little bit of Jesus, a little dabble do you here and there, say my prayers, be a good little boy, go to church, find me a good home church in Alabama, I love the music, I love things that are there, I kind of feel at home there, and all this kind of thing, and I just kind of just like hold on till I get to heaven? Is that the purpose of the church? Is that the only purpose of the church, or is that just the beginning of when you become a disciple? Forget church, go disciple. When I look at the early church, I don't see that they need energetic music. I don't see that they need a perfect pastor, because you won't find one. I am human. You are human. I care more about the anointing than somebody speaking everything perfect. I know men that can preach the wallpaper off the wall but ain't got a lick of anointing because they sleeping with so-and-so's wife. So what this pastor looks for, if the presence of there's purity in the house. And I would rather have an uneducated Galilean. They were known to be the hillbillies. They said of the disciples, these guys are uneducated. That's what they said about them. They were known as the hillbillies where they came from. They didn't finish high school, but they're good businessmen. I would rather have somebody that doesn't say everything perfect, that may not be the brightest light bulb in the house, but they are so full of Jesus that they say, this man has been with Jesus. That's what they said. They said, these guys are uneducated, but they have spent time with Jesus, not seminary. I'm all for learning. I'm all for learning doctrine. But I'm telling you what, the moment your doctrine replaces your relationship, you're in trouble. The moment you become prideful in the letter, the spirit leaves. Is this making sense to anybody? I don't believe the early church needed videos, lights, fog machines, cool-looking dress. Now, we could sit and debate about this. I know some of y'all like, some of you like to debate. I can hear your wheels turning. They're squeaking a little bit. Oh, them things. But because, again, those things, I get it. We have that here. But I'll tell you what, I'm preaching this for Daystar. I'm not preaching this to y'all out there. I'm preaching this to us. I'm preaching this to Scott. That maybe this thing that we've created may be our way and not God's. This thing that we do in America, maybe it's just kind of is this thing because it's the way it's always been. But I challenge you to read the Word of God. They didn't have to be pampered to be a disciple. I never see Jesus going up to somebody and talking them back into being a disciple or staying at their church. You see, when you make church about you and I, we're then set us up for failure to be easily offended. Because the moment church is not what I like, and it's not what I want, there's a big problem. We got I-itis. It's a disease. We've switched from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to a me, myself, and I trinity. We have put ourselves in charge, and I'm telling you, I know God is putting this in my heart. I may not be the best preacher getting this out, but I'm telling you, this is a word America needs to hear, because we have created something that has a form of godliness, but the power of God is not in our worship, and the power of God, and this is why some of you are sick among you, because you come in sick and you leave sick, because God is not in the room, because if God was really glorified and in the room, I believe that disease has to go when worship is lifted up. I believe if you're bound with devils today and addictions, that before you leave this room today, you should be free. I'm risking a lot by preaching this word. Pastor Dalton texted me and said, aren't you going to make some folk mad or something like that? I said, according to the word, the only folks that got mad were the Pharisees. That's what I texted him back. And I said, I'm a big boy now. I'm 31 years in ministry, and I'm not saying this arrogantly. I'm 48 on my way to 50. I ain't got time to play with nobody anymore. I said, I know according to Ephesians 4, my role is to help you grow up, is to help you mature, is to help you to grow up into the head of Christ, where you no longer have condemnation, religious thinking, but you have the love of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God, which then reflects out of you to others. God, help me to grow up. Oh, somebody needs to say that. Help me to grow up, because that's the problem in your marriage. I'm telling you, it leaks into every area. You are nothing but a little boy in a big boy body, or a little girl, and you want your way all the time. And it's because you do not take up your cross daily and die. Because if you take up your cross daily and die, which is what a disciple is to you, if you die, it's hard to offend a dead person in a casket. It's hard to make somebody mad when they're dead. Come, a dead person doesn't defend themselves. Now, I'm not there yet. Thank you, Pastor Eddie. That's why we're going to have champions, is we're going to help you get there. Our job is to help you mature and grow and into the head of Christ. I'll never forget, I'm going all over the place, forgive me. I know what time it is. I'll never forget a few years ago when I had so many voices in my ear. And some of you that have been with me for years, thank you for staying. Loyalty. But I remember I had people on staff telling me, no, we need an hour and 15 service just like this church over here that now has thousands. And I would go, and this one over here, no, we need the Holy Ghost and fire. Let God break out for 3 or 4 hours. So I've got that voice over here. You know, we do too much black gospel music, and we need to do more of this. We do too much white music and not enough gospel music. Jesus, which one do you like? Because last time I checked, as long as you're being lifted up, you're not into clothing and styles and... And I had so many people in my ear. And because of my ring finger, my love finger, it's not that I'm a compromiser, but my heart is to make people happy. And that can be a fatal flaw if people don't see you as a father too. Because that orphan spirit will stay. And then when that orphan spirit never comes into the sonship, it will go to another church. And guess what? They're still an orphan. Because I'm not your daddy. Your heavenly father is your father. I am a spiritual dad in your life. But if I ever speak contrary to what he says, no. I didn't tell you what God told me. God told me, man, I was in prayer. And he got me on this. He knew my heart. He knew my heart. And I'm going to tell you, my heart was not wrong. That's why you better know people's heart. Know those who labor among you. Don't judge somebody if you don't know their heart. Because everybody in this room will do something in your actions or motives or talk that you don't mean. And if you're easily offended, then you'll just get easily offended because so-and-so didn't talk to you or follow through with what they said. Well, they honestly forgot, just like you forget stuff. Go talk to them like the Bible says. And God said to me, Scott, I don't need a commercial. I don't need you to advertise me to make people want me. Either my presence is there and is enough, or you're actually creating a monster. You're feeding a consumeristic, Americanized mindset that if church is not exactly what I want, I will jump to another church. Then when the honeymoon wears off there, because there is a honeymoon period where you're posting pictures all over Facebook until you find out that that pastor that you never see isn't meeting with you either. There comes a time, and I'm going to speak Bible, that says work out your own salvation. No, you don't need an appointment with me right now. You need to go to your room and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You've got to grow up. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm a little embarrassed by the American church that we've needed all this extra stuff. I remember 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when all of a sudden this seeker-sensitive movement came about. Seeker-sensitive. Now, that language can be a little confusing. You know, we want to make church for the seeker, the one that's seeking for God. I get that, and I've got a lot of input on that, because I think if I'm a seeker sometimes, if I didn't know Jesus and I came into some church, I'd be scared out of my mind because there's a whole lot of flesh going on. But we've created as if the church is the seeker still. and that we need to be sensitive. There's this movement, and churches are blowing up across America out of this, that we need to make church for you. What you want. Now, I can discuss that and get it, but I'm going to tell you, just like that song, I'm not here for anything. I'm not looking for you to do something for me right now. You know, some people come to church like they're doing God a favor. You know, they like announce, yeah, I made it to church. You want a badge? You want a trophy? Because we give them out to everybody. And it's almost like I'm doing God a favor by coming to church. You are not doing God a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. Well, I went this month to church. Good for you. Do you want a cookie? Because every disciple should be at church every Sunday. Unless they're working. I met a man a couple weeks ago that works all night long and comes to church after he gets off work right here on Sunday. That's why if I see him sleeping, he's sleeping in the Lord. Because we preachers used to get mad at people sleeping, but we don't know if they worked all night or not. And I believe your spirit is still hearing while your flesh is awake. That's why I believe in sleeping with worship and different things on. Because your spirit man never sleeps. Goodness, I got to stop. And y'all, I have literally made it. Y'all remember the 19, it's expanded to 19 pages. And this week, I've made it through half of a page. Yes, I did. I want a badge right now. Clap for me. Come on. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. Come on. No, I'm joking. Man, I got to stop. No joke. I believe for decades the church leaders like myself at times have lost sight of the powerful mystery of who the church is. And we began to have methods and do things in church and the church world in order just to keep people coming. And can I tell you, it's almost like the spoiled child, that you always give them what they want. And then when adversity comes, not if, when adversity comes, because it will come to a house, especially that preaches truth. The devil will stir up gossip, offense, pastor doing that hell thing. You know, I mean, just crazy stuff that I've seen. And it lets me know that you see the mature rise up. You see those who know, you know, labor among you that don't think bad thoughts. Mean thoughts. What if we had dirt floors? I ain't doing that. What are they doing with the stage? Ain't ever gonna get done with it? First of all, we're not doing it for you. If anybody, we're doing it to reach the lost, maybe, but it's just like the clothes or the wrapping paper. It is never to be the package. The moment the wrapping paper, the presentation becomes more important than the gift, we've missed it. But Jesus doesn't need you to advertise him either. He doesn't need us to hand out donuts and coffee. We have created this thing. It started 20 years ago in the church. Let's make church this way. Good ideas. But I believe we have replaced what is important, like some of these said, in the church. Here's my last line. I think it's going to be on the screen. In all honesty, we have trained you to become addicted to lesser things concerning church. And we have cheapened something sacred called the church. We have trained you to be addicted to, if I like the music, if it's, oh, it's too loud. It's too loud. I understand hearing your heart, and we don't want to make church where we run people out because it's too loud or this or that, but here's a revelation. I love Christy even though she's not perfect. She looks really good with that blonde hair today. She's resurrecting dogs and getting bleached hair. Next thing you know, she's wearing the ear bobs too, the devil. Now, I love her. Let me flip it. She loves me in spite of all my imperfections. In spite of all my curves and all my edges. All my perfect imperfections. She loves all of me. All of me. That's the devil's playground. Stop that. I'm going to give the altar call for all of me on the song All of Me. But when we die and become a disciple and take up our cross in marriage, in friendship, and we understand that we're all imperfect, but we serve a perfect Jesus, which lets me know I got to have him in my marriage. I had to apologize to Destiny last night. Now, it was a good intention, but after I texted her something, I had to call her in my bedroom last night and say, baby, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have got that upset. And I apologized to her. When we're able to walk in humility, and I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there, because when you, the Spirit of Christ is the spirit of humility, according to Philippians. When we have that, we won't be addicted to lesser things like music and carpet, the way the old church used to argue and split over carpet and lights. And we become dead and become focused on the greater things, which is winning the lost, preaching the gospel, loving each other in spite of each other's weaknesses, not easily offended. And I end with this. 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to read it to you as I close out of the Passion Translation. I want you to listen to this. Most of us know 1 Corinthians 13 concerning love. And I'm going to talk about the number one ingredient is love in the church. But it's not a worldly love. It's not a love that loves you 1 minute hot and the next minute it's cold. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I did not express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing and more than a clanging cymbal. If I were to have the gift of prophecy with profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith, a faith that can move mountains, but I have never learned to love, then I am nothing. If I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor in Tuscaloosa, and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I mean, because other religions kill themselves. Without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. Love refuses to be jealous when blessings come to somebody else. Love does not brag about one's achievements, nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Ah, Jesus. Love joyfully celebrates honestly and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is safe. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Believing the best. No, they didn't mean to do that to me. Because I'm going to tell you, 90% of the time, they didn't mean to do it to you. But the enemy wants you to take the bait of offense. and leave or get upset. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it love never gives up. Let love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It's more enduring than tongues, which one will fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters. For I saw things like a child, and I even reasoned like a child. But the day I became, when I was matured, I set aside all my childish ways. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now. But one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has not been fully understood.
Wow.
Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, Daystar, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run your race. Come on, amen. Come on, amen.